Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
Oh, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. It's Tom and Lotus like usual, and it's been a few weeks because, well, Lotus was at PAX East last week, and it was my birthday, and I was like, well, you know what? Lotus isn't here. I'm going to take a week off. And the week before that, we met with our patrons, and we talked about Oblivion because it was brand new. The remaster just came out. But Lotus hasn't had a chance to talk about it. So In this episode, we're going to get into Lotus's experience with the game. I've also found some really fun stories to talk about, ways that people have figured out to break the game, and maybe even new ways to break the game that I hadn't heard about originally. And then Lotus got a chance to play the Elder Scrolls, the tabletop game.
Yeah, I had another extended session of the Betrayal of the Second Era board game from Chip Theory Games. They were obviously, you know, I don't want to say sponsored, but they sent me an alpha copy of it, which I actually have back there, so that we could originally do our trial run of it while it was still in pre-production, which, you know, you can always check out Tales of Tamriel for a kind of like run through of that.
You got to like actually meet the people who made it play with a group.
So they were, yeah. And it's like, so this was another experience where I got to chat with them again, and we fired up another session and played through another session at PAX East. Great guys, super nice. And it was just a pleasure to chat with them again. And the game, now that it's released, you can actually buy it. People were buying it at the event. It's a lot of fun if you like board games, and I'm actually not a big board game person, and this is like the fourth session I've played of it now, and I still would like to play more. So
that's awesome. So yeah, a lot to get to. And also to remind people before we get into it, yes, we will be getting back to more lore. In fact, I've updated some of what we're doing with the way we organize the episodes. If you've been listening to the show for a while, you know that the first 90-ish episodes were moved over to the Patreon only, but we've been going back through some of the different topics. In fact, it was 2 years ago at this point, a year and a half ago.
Something
we went
like
back
that.
Over the Daedric Princes in deeper detail. We've covered the Aedra, and it's time this summer we're going to be going back over the cosmology and a lot of the like deeper esoteric lore stuff. And on the side, this is super nerdy, Lotus. I've been late at night when I'm just like chilling out, watching YouTube videos, trying to get sleepy. I've been watching videos about like Gnosticism and esoteric real world myths and lore, and there are so many parallels. I'm finding, inadvertently even, finding connections to like Kirk Bride's inspiration for things.
Especially with the Kirk Bridean stuff,
yes,
I'm sure.
Like, yes, Gnosticism is crazy, crazy deep and diverse, and it's all not just one thing. So in going back over those original 90 episodes and all the different topics and things that I originally covered, we're trying to make those same topics available for everybody so that it's not like they really miss anything, but they can go hear the original versions if they want. But in going back over those, just like we did with the Daedric Princes, Lotus and I are going to be adding more than what was in those original episodes anyway. And I have even more insight into connections and inspiration for the like background and myths of the world and all of that. But that stuff's going to be coming in the coming weeks. We're going to spend probably the summer revisiting a lot of those topics in greater detail. So I'm excited about that. But for this week,
deal with me on every episode.
With Lotus. Yeah.
I wasn't here for year one.
right. So here, let's get into it. Lotus, you and I have only had a little bit of time to talk about your experience with Oblivion Remastered. Where do you want to start? Like, you weren't here for the patron chat. Like, I've totally missed out on your impressions, yeah. Like loading up the game and getting into it and what things you noticed first and all of that. So,
I mean, I guess we can start with the fact that I was very skeptical if this, I feel I made it pretty obvious that I thought the game was scrapped. And then due to interest building on leaks, quote unquote, that seemed to keep popping up. And then, I mean, I think, what is it? Is it Vicarious is the name of the developer?
Virtuous.
Yeah. Sorry. Virtuous. Yeah. When they officially, like, I want to say officially leaked it on their profile. Well, it's like, okay, well, that's pretty much confirmed. But yeah. Prior to that, I was pretty skeptical. I'm like, yeah, these things keep leaking and we keep missing all these leak windows. And I'm like, I think what it is this was clearly a thing planned because it was in those documents that did get leaked. There's a lot of leak related stuff that kind of this is one of the poorest kept secrets in history.
Sure.
But they in that thing during the buyout with Activision, and they had to put forth all those documents, and this and Fallout 3 were listed as like remake. Yeah. And I think they were on the table. And I think obviously COVID kind of screwed with those plans.
Yes. Like and everything I, else, everything now, right. It took two or three extra years before it was originally planned to come out.
Exactly. So my thought was sort of that this project kind of just got scrapped. And then as time progressed and, you know, we had re-releases of Skyrim and we got the
Creation Elder Club changes and updates.
Yeah, and we got more and more demand for Elder Scrolls something, and we're not getting it. And then Starfield came out, and so Starfield sold a lot. But the review was much more mixed than I think Bethesda tends to have. And I don't know if that kind of like...
For Starfield was specifically.
Starfield specifically. About, right? Like, it wasn't that it was bad. I really have not done all that much with it. I didn't dislike it, but I had a huge problem with the field of view slider, and it did not have the option to change it at launch. It was patched in, but it actually gave me a pretty bad headache playing because you were too zoomed in. So I had to put it down for a while, and I actually just did not pick it up until after it had been patched, and I've just been too busy. So I know it was a bit of a mixed response, but one of the things they took a step forward to was that whole RPG, like, oh, we're going a little more into the RPG thing. And a lot of people liked that. And RPG stuff has been on the rise. We've got Baldur's Gate 3, which is super RPG heavy, and these crunchy numbery systems.
And very, Skyrim, very, what's the right word for it? Very handcrafted.
Yes.
Experiences less than like in Starfield, where you have these vast expanses on these planets, but they're all very cookie cutter and procedurally generated.
For anybody who's played throughout the series for a long time, some people refer to it as dumbing down. I don't really care for that always, but I feel streamlining is a thing that the series has definitely done, sometimes for better, sometimes for worse. Oblivion was this weird like checkpoint for a lot of things, and I think this was sort of a testbed of, do people really want as much of this old school RPG as they say they do?
Right, because they are now what, 2 years in? I mean, I know there was pre-production that was working on with Starfield. Starfield was released almost 2 years ago now, I believe, almost 2 years ago. Has it really been that long? And and when Starfield released, we know that they went into full production for Elder Scrolls 6. And so now, 2 years into the project, now would be the time to really make sure that, okay, are they going in even more of a, are they doing Skyrim even more streamlined? Or... What? Are they taking the elements from Skyrim that seem to work well and people really like, but then using this remaster as a way to test out some of the older elements and go, okay, well, do we bring back some of those? I can imagine that, like, if I was Todd Howard, I would want to know. I would want to know what does the audience actually want from an Elder Scrolls game, because it's been so long since they've made one.
Right.
The world is different now. And yes, you're going to have, I mean, the world is so, it has been so long since the original Oblivion that there are so many people posting online about, I've always heard about this game, but I never got into it. It was so old. And oh my God, I'm so surprised. These things are very interesting. I didn't expect this or that. There's a lot of that kind of feedback. And so through this project, this is basically what you're saying, is we're getting insight into people who were children or not even born at the time when Oblivion first released. And so they're a completely different generation of people who never played it. So how would they engage with this kind of system?
Right. And my big thing, which actually Rob makes kind of a funny point, that streamlining and dumbing down are pretty much the same thing based on, you know, how it's received, which I think in a lot of cases is true.
Well, streamlining can mean being more efficient without being more idiotic. Right.
I think to his point, that is what a lot of people would see is like, well, this is easier, so thereby it's dumbed down. And I'm like, right.
Well, it depends on the system. It depends on the system, right? Like,
well,
having
right.
not and, putting markers over everyone's heads and then choosing to put markers over everyone's heads is dumbing it down because you make it, people don't have to think as much about where they're going.
Correct.
Right? That I would consider dumbing down. But doing something like making sure that when you open your inventory menu, things are sorted in a way that's more efficient for you to find them isn't dumbing it down. It's making it more easy to use.
Correct. Right?
Like, that's not somewhere I need to be spending brain cycles in order to figure out what's going on. That's frustrating, and I'd rather not do that. Whereas the previous example might actually be more engaging because now I have to engage with the world more. So there's nuance in that description. So go ahead.
I'm a proponent of, you know, the Elder Scrolls 3 Morrowind is my favorite in the series. So, like, you want to talk about, you know, unintuitive in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But also much more complicated in a lot of ways. I feel like that would be harder to take a step back to from, obviously, even Oblivion. But I think what it is my experience with getting into the remaster now is I was excited to see it. I'm excited now. It looks like we get Sky Oblivion and Oblivion Remaster in the same year.
Chime in on this one, I'm even more excited for Sky Oblivion, having now played the remaster.
Yeah, because they've gone in different directions with
Absolutely.
This.
And this is something we've talked about multiple times over the last few months, is that it will be interesting to see the differences between the two. But now that I have one of them and I've seen some glimpses of the other through some of their like videos and the, you know, Q&A stuff that they've done, I'm even more interested. And there's a part of me, I promise I'll let you speak some more, but I'm just so excited. There's a part of me that's going, Oblivion Remastered looks amazing. The graphics are great. But you know what I miss is just, and it's not the dumbing down stuff, it's some of the ways that the systems in Skyrim work compared to Oblivion. For example, the combat feel of Skyrim, just even though this has been tweaked and improved, I still prefer the way Skyrim feels in combat. And that's 100% a subjective thing. I'm not saying it's objectively better. They are two different things, but there's something about the feel of Skyrim's combat. And maybe it's just because I've spent so many hours in it. Maybe it's just a familiarity thing at this point. But to have Skyrim feeling combat in Oblivion's world seems really appealing to me.
Yeah, and I can see that, because it's definitely, Skyrim's combat has more weight to it, and it's still not considered the best combat, for sure.
No, it's not the best, right? But to see that in Oblivion, in the Oblivion, Sky Oblivion, is appealing to me personally.
Yeah, for sure. So that's definitely like a thing I can understand, and I'm very interested to see which direction they both took it. And you know, Rebel and the team right after it came out, it was pretty funny. They've been saying, like, you know, we're excited to play the remaster too. This doesn't need to be like a competition thing. Like, you can have both your cakes and eat them in the same year. Like, literally, you don't need to turn this into a competition. You can just get everything you want. Like, it's actually kind of like, what more do you want? You get both.
Yeah, you want chocolate cake? You want cheesecake? You have both.
You want both?
Like, they're both very different, but
play as much or as little as you want.
Both cake.
So the thing with that is, like, all right, I'm excited to see this. Like, now I really wanted to try it, now that I knew that it was real, and it was like, okay, cool. It is coming out just like I wanted. I was surprised, but I was given a copy of the game from Bethesda, which I thought was incredibly nice of them, especially on my unloved platform in terms of this type of setting, because
mini podcasts,
they gave me a PS5 key.
Right. But you mean the PlayStation being, like, I thought you were implying that as podcasters were less noticed. But this is one of those things that we deal with in podcasting. People can't see they can't see your download numbers like you can on YouTube.
Our medium is,
or
if you know, you know, and if you don't know, then you don't think we exist. Right. It's a weird scenario we're in, but you know, shout out to them for just acknowledging us now with the stream team and all that.
Very appreciative. Stuff. Yeah. They sent me a key as well, which I've noted previously.
And so I was like, well, that's awesome. And you know, they knew, they were like, yeah, you wanted a PS5 one, right? I was like, I do. They were like, yeah, no problem. Here you go. They were like, let us know what you think. Tag us in some stuff. I was like, awesome. Okay. That's very kind of you.
Yeah. So yeah. I actually got a key, and I also bought myself a copy of the game as well.
Well, that was the thing. I was like, I'm buying this anyways. Right. So like,
I have two copies.
Very nice of you.
Right. I've got a PC copy, and then I also have a Xbox copy.
An Xbox copy,
I think, is the other one. Yeah.
So I was able to dive right in, start playing. My time has been bizarre just because of my actual real life stuff, but one, just it works great on the PlayStation Portal with some headphones. Just out the gate, the music immediately was like nostalgia central for me.
What do you think about the opening title screen with the flaming portal?
And I've mentioned with Skyrim and stuff, I find a lot of Elder Scrolls games very seasonal to me, which is weird. I don't know, but like Skyrim is obviously like a fall winter game for me, and it's just like my cozy winter fall game. Mm-hmm. And Oblivion to me is actually my spring game, so the fact that it came out now, I'm like, oh man, this is hitting perfect right now. Nice. So I've been playing a lot. Not the most productive play. I have just been roaming around enjoying lots of stuff.
So okay, really, so like, are you just going through the wilderness and like, yes, here's the thing,
I'm
gonna
roaming off, and every now and then I pick an objective. I stumble across something that looks interesting, I kind of interact with that.
I find this curious because one of the main differences that at least that I feel like is between Oblivion and Skyrim is that Skyrim has more reason to pick a dungeon and just go in it even if you don't have a quest. Whereas Oblivion, you can just find a cave or a dungeon or whatever, and you go in, and sometimes there's just really not a whole lot there.
No, and there's not a loop-de-loop escape route.
Right, yep, thing, no escape route.
Which I will and say, maybe no boss. Something I would consider dumbing down, but it is efficient. Caves aren't made with trap doors to get you right back to the front. Like, that's bizarre that all caves are made like that. This game, it's like, no, your cave's just, dude, it's a cave. It's a dead end. You find a bear at the end. That's it.
Right.
You're
right. Or maybe
walk back the way you came.
Right. There's some imps and maybe some poison traps. And oh, maybe there's a treasure and like a Varla stone or something. But that's like, that's it. Congratulations.
Right. So no, I've actually been doing a lot of that, just exploring the world, looking at the graphical differences. I'm very pleased to see that you were correct with the saturation, where it wasn't quite as browned out as it looked like in a lot of the screenshots, which I really did not do the game justice. It's like, yeah, it looks pretty, but what happened to the cool watercolor effect?
Yeah.
It's more there than it showed.
It is still less saturated, but it's more saturated than those original screenshots.
Bingo.
Implied.
I love the flower picking animation stuff. That's very entertaining to me.
Yeah, little things like stretch and they just go whoop. Yeah. Yeah.
That's very cool. There's just like a lot to explore in the world. I've been very amused by it. It's still got all the cheese leveling that I love to do, where I'm just bunny hopping and summoning a scamp and shooting the scamp with my bow and arrow before I land. And so I get conjuration, archery, acrobatics, and athletics all at the same time while I'm moving around.
Right.
And as a side effect, if you play like that, you
poor scamp. It's like, stop summoning me. This hurts.
By doing stuff like that, you totally break the bizarre scaling system, to which I did. I had a post that some of you found funny where I did the Siege of Kvatch at level 21 with my fists. And I was trying to remember the exact counts because it couldn't all fit in the picture, but it was, you know, I don't know, 18 day draws, 10 Storm Atronach, right, a bunch of Spider Daedra. It's just like a bunch of Dremora coming out in full Daedric armor. I went in with steel, as I was telling you, Tom, basically trying to punch my way through these things. My gloves would just shatter after like five punches and the thing would barely have any health lost. And I would have to just club it with my fist for so long to kill it. And I had to kite them through hallways to kill them. And I went in with steel and I left entirely clad in Daedric armor because everything is so over the top. It made the Siege of Kavach a lot of fun. It really felt like a threat. There's that guy who you needed to lead to the keep with the key, and he would open that gatehouse, and there's a stipulation: if he falls, find his body and get the key. It barely put the message on the screen and he's just blood hit the wall and he was dead, and I'm like, well, all right, well, he's done.
The Daedra just blowing up
just
soldiers
mauled by Daedros, like they flooded down the hall and just ripped him apart. I was like, didn't stand a chance.
That's great.
So that was fun, but you know, definitely weird. The difficulty is super broken, which is peculiar. Adept is fine.
Like the original, so the scaling of the difficulty, the changing settings, is absolutely broken.
So different from the game scaling up difficulty.
Right. The choosing level. Expert or choosing novice.
Expert. Yeah. I believe I saw a thing on Juicehead where he did the actual numbers from the code. Right. It is straight up not working. Like it is broken. Where when you go to expert, it's three times everything.
Yes. Which is like, things do way more damage and you do way less damage. And so it's like,
and then master, I think, is six times, where it's basically just almost like, it's not impossible, but it's obscenely unbalanced. There's just like no good medium, which is kind of funny.
Right. There's already a bunch of mods that have been released to fix this in different ways. So, and it does seem like one of the things people have been doing is reporting on the Bethesda Discord about like what things they want changed. That's one of the top changes, is like, hey, fix the scaling, fix the difficulty scaling
the
slider.
Difficulty scaling. Scaling itself is
The scaling
itself is interesting, but it is part of the game. So it is a little peculiar. Other than that, the only quest that I've actually done, quest line, I should say, I've done random quests for people and stuff like that. So I've progressed enough that I've finished the Siege of Kavach. And that's where it is kind of ended. I also am at the final, basically the final tier of fights in the arena. Because I just found the arena a lot of fun. It's very sort of brain dead, go in, beat the things up and do the thing and get a whole bunch of money. And money is much less common in this game for quite a while. So I use that as my source of income.
Are you as impatient as I am? You get to the gate and then of course Wes Johnson is announcing everybody, and I'm like, I'm like, Wes, just shut up and open the gate. Just like,
so
let me
I
in.
Would be if I wasn't a total sociopath while I was just casting repeat skills on myself to level up all the time.
Right. Okay. So
the whole time I'm like, yep, just standing here casting armor 52 times.
I'm just like, let me in. Let me in. Just stop talking. Just let me in. Yep. Just open the gate. I've heard this a dozen times now. Yeah.
So there's that. So I've done a lot with that, but a lot of it has just been like, I have fun kind of doing some of the number crunchy shit and leveling. And
That's your thing for sure.
Yes. Yeah. And the big thing, which this is why I like to differentiate between dumbing down something and streamlining it, I love the change they made to leveling in this game.
Oh, yeah. So much better.
It is
so much better.
Vastly improved. The old system of Oblivion leveling was very min-maxy, which I absolutely abused as a kid. I guess I wasn't a kid. I was like in college. That's sad.
College kid. College kid.
When I was younger. But... you basically would try to level up your minor skills in conjunction with your major skills enough that you would have 10 levels in an attribute before you would hit your full level, so that you would get +5 modifiers to two things, and you could only ever get a +1 modifier to luck at any point. So there was nothing you could do to level the modifier for luck. So you would just try to maximize that. So for every two levels, you would get plus one to the thing. This sounds really convoluted because This is a situation if you focused, for the sake of it.
Right. If you focused on your max skills, you would level up, but then the world would out-level you before you actually leveled up the other skills that you would need in order to deal with everything. So,
right.
Yeah.
Whereas this game, your major skills level up quicker than your minor skills, but like Skyrim, all skills contribute to your level.
Right.
And you are just given these virtues when you level. You get 12 virtues?
12? Yeah, 12?
Yeah, yes. 12 virtues.
I think so.
Yeah, 12 virtues. Yes.
5, 5, and 3.
13. Five, and 3.
2. 5, 5, and 2. 12.
5, 5, and 2, I think.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, it's 12 or 13. Yeah, I think
because normally five I put 5 in one, 5 in another, and then 2 in something else.
See, and that's the difference, is because I'm still a min-maxing wacko, I do luck, which costs 5 virtues to make it so that you can only apply 1 luck. So fundamentally, it works the same. Mm-hmm. I do 5 in luck so that I get my 1 luck point so that I can max out luck, even though it's not really that important. I need all my stats to say 100 or I'll go crazy.
Right.
So I have 5 virtues go to luck, 5 virtues would go to endurance, because endurance calculates how many hit points you get for each progressing level. So I tried to get that to max as fast as possible so I could maximize the amount of hit points I would get overall, because it
it'll catch up though. It'll catch up if you do it later. From what I've heard, I could be wrong.
Is it retroactive?
It's retroactive.
I did not think it,
yes.
Is it?
Yes. If you level something more slowly than something else, but then level it up when you're a higher level, it catches you back up to where you would have been had you been leveling that earlier.
Interesting. Okay. That I didn't know. I mean, it's been level 100 as soon as physically possible for me, so it didn't really matter. Right.
So if you hit level 20 with 50 endurance, and then you spent the next 10 levels leveling endurance
to 100,
let's say at level 30, it would be the same as if you leveled endurance earlier. Like,
interesting.
Ultimately
I did
up.
Not know that. I accounted for it being that that's the only stat that seemed to be level dependent. The other, like,
yeah, from what I've heard, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. If the audience is out there, it is a Rob the Princess
retroactive now for endurance. Thank you, Rob. Yeah. Okay, so I didn't even know that. Like, so I was being even more particular than needed to be in that regard, because I was like, no, got to max this one out, and then carry weight, and then at that point, sure, the other stuff counts too, but like that's actually good to know. So they made it idiot proof as well.
Yeah you don't have to worry about that
sitting there doing what I'm doing. But either way, I love the new system because it lets you level while playing and you're not punished for doing what I do, because to most people that's probably not fun.
Yeah, because a lot of people just want to be in the world. They just want to play their character. They want to meet these other people, you know, NPCs. Right. They want to do their quests. They don't want to have to worry about doing math while playing the game.
But the thing that's cool about that is having these attributes is an extra level of character customization that Skyrim lost. So
yeah.
Actually, it's not in Elder Scrolls Online either. So, like, I can see the appeal of that. Like, it's got more RPG stuff to it. Your birth signs are much more important in this one in a lot of ways.
Go ahead. I have questions for you.
So, like, just like the character creation. You also have the classes. Like, there are classes, not just jack of all trades for everybody. Because in this one, I decided, because the Khajiit and Argonian designs are so good, in my opinion.
They look great.
So I was like, okay, I just want to look at these fur effects whenever I like look at my character. So I was like, I'm gonna go with a Khajiit. And I made kind of like a weird hodgepodge of skills. A lot of times I like making my own class and then just making it around how I play so that I can control when I hit levels, but that's not even a thing in this game. So I didn't need to do that, but I was like, this is just how I prefer to do it. So I made my class the door-to-door sales cat.
Okay. I choose that. Like, so I went with a battle mage. I customized it around the skills that I wanted for my first character and for my next, actually second character that I played the most. But my first character, I went and recreated my original character from like my original main character when I first played Oblivion the first time, whose name was Ninja Kitty, because I was like, it's a cat and I'm making a ninja. Yeah. So I created the class Ninja, which basically was sneaky and stealthy and stabby and all of that stuff. So in most cases, I just customize my own class. I always look through the list and I'm like, I don't really want this stat. Let me use this other
with
ones.
Mine, it was mainly that I wanted to control which ones would level up fastest for certain degrees of efficiency. And I was like, oh, well, you know, that we got, you know, the trader caravans and stuff like that. So I'll just be a door-to-door salesman. That's nice.
That's a very powerful door-to-door salesman. Punches danger to powerful. Death.
But yeah, I've just been really, really enjoying what they put forward. It just kind of feels great to be in the world again. And I'm surprised how much I remember mixed with how much I've forgotten.
Yes. Okay. So yes, absolutely. This is where I want to go with the conversation, is that there are a number of things that I just absolutely forgot were there. Because 100%. It's been so long. Because once Skyrim came out, that was my go back to, if I'm going to play Elder Scrolls single player, I'm going to go back to Skyrim because of just the advances in the tech. And like I noted before, I just enjoy the loop is tighter. The individual dungeons, I feel like, are more diverse and interesting. The combat's better, in my opinion.
For sure. But I would agree with
people
that.
I'm happy for people to disagree with me on some of these things because it's a subjective thing. But so let's talk about some of these other things that you've noticed that you didn't remember. Is there anything that specifically comes to mind?
So one of the things that actually I didn't remember at first, but found out about, and I understood retroactively why it felt different. I was like, man, I seem to consistently do damage in this game. And now, granted, it doesn't have the roll, miss thing like
Morrowind
is notorious for, or sure. Daggerfall, or pretty much any of the older games that people have been subjected to watching me play where I'm just screaming at the screen, please hit the thing. You always hit the thing in this game, as long as you can physically hit it. But I didn't remember damage being so consistent. I was like, I thought this game had some more variety. And apparently it did, and I totally forgot about this.
So what do you mean by consistent? Like
things just took more damage than I thought they did. And I was like, I don't think I'm necessarily stronger than I remember. The old system, the lower your fatigue.
Oh, right. Yes.
The less damage you did.
Yes. Yes.
That is not in the new game.
It's not. Right.
And I didn't know why it felt different until someone told me. I'm like, that's got to be what it is.
Right.
And then once I noticed it, I was like, yes, I'm consistently doing
max
my damage,
damage
feels right. consistent.
You hit something with a sword and it does the same damage, whether you're at full stamina or whether you're at half or not.
But it's just based on your stats and your skills. Right. And that's what calculates the damage. And that's why it felt better to me, because I was remembering the old system where it was like, man, I just damage is dropping off a cliff as I get winded. And I'm like, oh, you know, I didn't realize that, but that totally makes sense when it was brought to my attention.
Yeah, which is a good thing to fix, because if you're out of stamina, you need to wait till the stamina comes back. But if you run away, it drains your stamina. If you block
it drains your stamina.
So you have no good way other than maybe using magic or potions to get
briskly
your stamina back.
So then
you are either using magic, you're using a potion up, which you have limited amounts of, or you're taking hits to your HP to wait for your stamina. So either way, you're losing something else just waiting to get your damage back up.
Or you bring a sack full of disgusting ingredients wherever you go and find just the ones that provide you either health, stamina, or magicka recovery.
Right.
And you hoover a certain amount of them so your regen is quicker than your expulsion.
Right. But even then, you're just limited on the supplies you have.
No,
you still have to use something to get it back.
I destroyed my inventory when I was in the Siege of Kvatch. By the end, I was like, oh, I have so many ingredients. I was like, I have one mushroom. I got nothing else.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That is something that is distinctly different. Also, headshots do more damage. Do you know that?
I've heard that. And I was kind of screwing around with testing it on poor Scampi.
poor Scampi.
Yeah.
Also
poor
your,
Scampi.
Oh, not only do you use him to level, but you also test out damage
on
his body. Every time you summon him, he's like, "Not again, no."
Yeah. Yep. So. That I did notice was kind of like, oh, based on where I shoot Scampi, really does seem to make a difference.
He yells harder.
Cool. He yells more. Very sad. Well, if you don't kill him in a couple shots, your summon will turn on you. So it's kind of interesting.
I
was gauging, I was like, oh, if I shoot him in the back of the neck, he's really he's not going to be able to, I'll kill him before he'll turn on me.
Right.
Whereas if I shoot him in the foot, he tends to turn on me before I kill him. So
yeah. Okay. So have you done, you've said most of what you've done is just kind of wander around and
a lot of just exploring. I've been loving exploring the world again and listening to the music.
Have you done any of the guild stuff? Any of the guilds?
So I have joined the Fighters Guild and done nothing with them.
Okay.
I actually haven't joined the Mages Guild. I've joined the Fighters Guild. Pretty much the only guild, which it's not a guild, that I've done is been the arena. It's been the arena and exploring. There's the new, it was an expansion fort. I wish I could remember what it was called off the top of my head. But basically, there's a fight going on there. If you help clean it out, you get to inherit the fort.
Okay.
It's off to the left side of the map over toward Anvil.
Battleborn Castle, Berg. I think that's
one.
Right. Yeah.
Boom. Thank you. Yeah. Yep. No, you got it.
That's it. Appreciate I came across there as well. Yes.
That was cool. I liked that. I don't fast travel really. So I'm on foot quite a bit. And I thought I remembered one, and then Braun from Son of the Sithis, and he joins us on Tales now, kind of confirmed it when they had their episode when I was at PAX that there was that glass helmet in the ocean off the coast of the off the Gold Coast by Anvil. And I remembered that being there, so I tried to fudge my way over to it, and I eventually found it after nearly drowning a whole bunch, where there's a skeleton just at the bottom of the ocean, and you can pop his little glass helmet off, doesn't matter what level you are. And I was like, oh, man, this is great. And I forgot that, holy crap, Night Eye is just offensive to the senses in this game.
Is it just blinding you? Like,
yes.
You're just using it?
Bright blue. It's like somebody's hitting you in the face with a flare, and it's so you can see in the dark. But I was like, yeah, but this is all I can see. I was like, I can't do this.
Still
and
doesn't help. Yeah.
The helmet has permanent night eye on. I'm like, man, right in the trash.
Okay. All right. You can probably tweak your screen settings a little bit. But
well, so the problem is the screen effects are just like, I can see, I guess, enough in the dark. But like,
it doesn't feel as dark.
It doesn't, because I actually don't find myself needing to carry torches in this game nearly as much.
Right. I think in the original, I just upped the gamma on my monitor.
I see. And I remember I used to constantly carry torches, and I always thought it was great that torches weighed 0-0, but arrows weighed 0-1. And I'm like, why is this torch free, but this other thing isn't? But I mean, at least it's not Daggerfall, where gold has weight. I some of the spell effects I think are gorgeous. I guess that's more of like a Unreal technology type of thing, but like, holy crap, some of the skills and spells look so amazing. Some are super disorienting, like I said, that one, although I remember that being disorienting in the original. But have you cast Detect Life in this game?
Oh yeah, I actually have a item on my mage character. I got into, quick little side story, I did the Mages Guild, got access to all of the spellcrafting and the enchanting and things like that. So I enchanted one of the items I have with Detect Life at all times. And every time I go near anybody, everyone's just sparkling. Like
sparkly.
Everyone's just glittery through everything.
I love the sparkly effect instead of just pink, which was in the original game. It's just like, here's pink smear. I love the sparkly effect, but when you cast it, it's like briefly a gravity pulse or something that comes out of your screen where it's just like and it's just like, oh my lord, that is just like intense. So I want to make one that lasts for a really long time so I don't have to cast that version.
Just enchant one of your items.
Just exactly, put an enchantment just on something. Got it on.
Hey baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips, with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
Yeah. Doesn't the Gray Fox's cowl have it on, I believe.
Well, maybe. I haven't finished the Thieves Guild again. I'm working my way through
that it. Might have that as an effect, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. I feel like that's right. Again, it's been so long. So many of these things, I'm like, I don't even remember how to do this. So I went back through the Mages Guild quest line, which, of course, is very interesting from a lore perspective, because you have to fight Manny Marco at the end.
Sure do.
Which is a key component of so many games in the series at this point. Like, he's a main.
And they make you work for being
villain.
Part of the Mages Guild, because prior to Skyrim, mages were jerks.
Right. Well, you had to go to all the different cities and do their little jobs, and rediscovering the, you know, like the guy at the bottom of the well with the ring of burden who died, you know, like that kind of stuff was just kind of humorous. I'm like, that's funny. He could have just taken the ring off, but I guess he didn't. What's going on with that? But then, like, working your way through the Mages Guild is it's interesting, like, to go through that again. And
you feel like you're actually earning yourself merit in the guild.
Yes. Yeah, it does. It does feel better. The tower that you end up in towards the end, that's in the Imperial City, feels tiny. Like, it's like I go in this little room and everyone's just standing there like next to each other, just looking at each other. And I'm like, hey, guys, I finished my quest.
Yeah, I know. And like, the Imperial City itself is kind of funny, because it's just like, oh, biggest capital in the world. And it's just like, there's 13 people here.
Yeah. Like, the outside area is cool with all the different, like, the, you know, the different rooms, the buildings you can go in. But the, like, the tower itself is just like this
just
tiny
funny.
Little room.
Yeah.
But then, like, by the time I got to the end of the quest line, I could spellcraft, I could do all sorts of things. So I created a spell that does fire damage, buffs or increases amount of fire damage enemies take on the enemy I cast it on, but also increases damage of magic on the enemies, both by 100.
Oh, gotcha.
And it lasts for like 6 seconds. So within those 6 seconds, I can cast that spell, and it's the actual damage from the fire is like 10 or 15 or something. So I cast it once, it barely does any damage, but then it stacks. So then I cast it again,
It
multiplies, and then I cast it again and it multiplies, but the fire also ticks over time as well. So usually for pretty much anything, I only have to do is 3 casts, and then tick, 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 their health just evaporates and they fall on the ground. So I run into the cave with Manny Marco in it, and I'm like, okay, you know, fighting through all these necromancers and all this stuff. And I get to Manny Marco, and he's like, I forget what his actual line is, but something like, you're a fool, you're going to pay for that or whatever. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I run over. So at first I don't just attack him, because I'm like, I'm just going to obliterate this, like, the strongest necromancer that Tamriel has ever seen is standing in front of me. I'm going to give him a chance. So I let him, you know, summon them some things, and he starts attacking me, and I'm like, all right, let's just put an end to this. And I'm like, cast, and he just like slumps over. And I'm like, that was so anticlimactic.
I mean, that's something that for sure you can get hyper overpowered, which I appreciate. But you know, you gotta, it's you're just too good. That's the problem.
Yeah. It's just the nature of the, you know, being able to craft your own spells and the way that, and it's not just like, this is that's a very simple way to set things up, because like things go over time and the numbers will scale over 100. So you
right.
can, and then they compound on top of each other, because if they're vulnerable to magic, then you make them vulnerable to fire again, and it compounds that vulnerability to magic with fire vulnerability and the spell that you're casting that does damage. So that stuff makes sense. But then there's even other ways of, like, I read a post, I think it was yesterday, where somebody was like, yeah, I got 50,000 magicka. Here's how you do it. And basically uses the fact that the system doesn't want you to go to like certain types of negative numbers in order to then flip the scale the other direction. And then it just like basically breaks the math of the game. So it's no longer even just stacking things on top of each other. It's using the limitations of the programming in order to create impossible things.
One of my favorite things about these games, which I know they seem to try to find ways to carve them out, and in some situations they essentially remove parts of the features from future games because it's like they're trying to avoid it. But like with Skyrim, I remember one of my first things that I did was I believe it was fortify health. And then it would also, for whatever reason, modify your enchanting skills simultaneously. Mm-hmm. So you would, it was a weird thing where it was like going, it was like giving you a little buff to it. So you would put it on and then make a pair of gloves with fortify health. And then you put those gloves on and then make, you'd cast the spell. So then it would stack two fortifies and then you would make a new pair of gloves and you could just kind of stack this up.
Yeah.
And by the end, I think it was called the guard armor glitch when it became popular or whatever, but I remember making it so that it was like, we just kept going with it to see what would happen. And eventually it went for like, it had like a negative number and it was in like the 17 trillions.
You're right. Yeah.
And I would just touch something and they would just basically fly off into the distance because it just broke physics. It destroyed everything. And unfortunately caused pretty bad file corruption after a short period of time because it was so messed up.
Right.
But
yeah.
I love the little things you can do when you're messing with the, it's basically just messing with what the code allows you to do. That's super fun to me.
Yeah.
Even if it's just to show you can do it and then go, but it's like, okay, well I've killed this. I don't want to do this now. Like just experiencing it is fun.
I also think that it's interesting that you can come across certain types of enemies that are very hard, depending on the way that you spec your character out. So assuming that you're not using some sort of way to just break the game and drain something's health in three casts. But even then, so there's a quest in the Mage's Guild where you go into a house and there's some wraiths in the house. And by that point in the game, I was like, I don't know, level 15 or something. And I had like some really nice heavy armor because I was going battle mage, so really good armor. I'd even enchanted the armor with other kinds of resistances and protections and things like that. And then, so I was like trouncing everything, using my three cast spell thing for most stuff. I go into that house and I come across a wraith, and I'm able to kill the first one pretty quick because I can just like blast it down with my spells. And then it's the second one hits me and it starts draining my endurance. And then all of a sudden I just keel over. And I was like, huh, okay. Like, I forgot that that's a thing. Yeah. So now I have to make sure that, like, enemies can't just reduce my endurance and then, like, one hit me and then I'm dead? Okay.
So, yeah. And in that regard, like, to weird kind of stuff like that, I've been having fun with fist fighting as, like, my thing. And I'm like, oh, this is totally weird. I've never really done this in Oblivion. Yeah, I learned I need to keep some silver stuff in my backpack because otherwise I'm in a lot of trouble, especially if I'm like casting spells randomly like Wacko. It's like, I need a reserve of magicka or I need something silver because I can't fist fight wraiths.
I know that
Will-O-the-Wisps.
They changed it so that you don't need silver on like elven weapons. I was using an elven weapon hitting
it's
a wraith.
It's silver or better quality.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay, so that's the change?
It's silver or better quality, which is actually a thing that like Daggerfall and stuff did too. Mm-hmm. It's just basically silver was the tier that started to matter. And then it's like, well, Elven has silver in it. Mithril has silver in
right.
it.
Okay.
Malachite has silver. So it's like, okay.
Yeah, but your fists don't.
Good enough.
Right.
Right. But I'm doing fist. And I was like, what about mithril gloves? And I'm like, nope, this doesn't do it. Like,
oh, no.
So, and that was when I started really making sure to like give some destruction magic. Cause I was like, I need another way to like stop these. Cause I ran into like a field and there was like a troll who I just like obliterated. And I was like, yeah, I don't even need fire to kill you cause I can punch you so fast. Like take that health regen. Mm-hmm. But then like four wisps got to me and I was like, oh God. And I was like running like a coward down the hills, like trying to get away from them before they ate me alive.
Yeah. 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 So one of the other things, so after doing my battle mage for a while, this last week, went back to my ninja kitty and I was like, okay, I'm going to try the sniping things with the bow. Learned that there's an exploit and I don't know if this was in the original, but it turns out if you snipe something while sneaking, it does your like three times damage. But if you switch to your dagger before the arrow hits, it does 8 times damage.
I did not know about that.
Yep.
And that's awesome.
Yep. So you can snipe something from a distance as long as it's far enough away for the arrow to take time to hit it.
And then
you can switch to your dagger.
Really cool.
And it just like 8 times the damage. Also, and I got that from ESO, the YouTube personality guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever you know who I'm talking about. He does lots of Elder Scrolls content on YouTube. He's got all sorts of guides and stuff. Go check him out. Very cool stuff. But there was one that was specifically for marksman skills and sneaking and that kind of thing. Also, he noted that you can go to the Daedric Shrine where you summon like a Daedric bow, like right at the beginning of the game.
Yep.
Which is one of the most powerful bows you can get. And it's supposed to last like a minute and then disappears. Turns out, if you shoot it a few times so that it starts to break down and goes down to a 99 quality instead of 100, repair it with a hammer, drop it on the ground, wait an hour, pick it back up, it becomes a permanent bow.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so I'm running around with this glowy Daedric bow.
That's
sniping things for 8 times damage. And I'm like,
does it have weight? Like, does it become a physical object?
It works like a physical. I don't know if it has a total weight amount, but like if it's still just zero. But
that's weird. That I did not know about that either. That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's super fun.
Right. So that's what I've been doing is going back through is that and just kind of like, I'm not gaming too much else with that build. I'm still having to sneak. I'm still having to like convince people of things in conversation. I'm still having to lock pick correctly. I'm not like,
I don't know. I really loved the different feel that we've gotten from it. And it seems like a lot of people do. It's been immensely popular. People are having a lot of fun with it. And like one of the things that I actually didn't care for in Skyrim, well, one, I make no bones about, I think the UI, as jank as it is with like flipping pages, aesthetically looks the best in the entire series.
It's more,
the parchment look.
Yeah, it looks more like part of the world as opposed to a video game overlay.
I love the parchment look. And it's actually the only add-on that I think is cool in ESO because there's actually an Oblivion add-on UI.
Nice. Nice.
Love that. I just think it looks cool. They've improved some of the jankiness of it. Mm-hmm. But I think just the UI design aesthetically is really awesome.
It stays true to the original, but still looks modernized.
Yes.
Right.
And the other thing that I accepted with Skyrim, but was like, I don't like this as much, the hot wheel thing. Now, you had the favorites button for Skyrim,
right?
Where it's like, oh, I can hold magic in one hand. I can hold my weapon in the other hand. Or maybe I'm dual wielding magic. I just like having my thing and I can just, I have one of, for the controller, if you're not playing on PC, if you have a controller, you use one of the bumpers. So I'm just like sword fighting. I have a shield in my, say I have a sword in one hand, a shield in the other hand. Okay. So I'm sword fighting, blocking, and I can just hit this bumper. No switching things, no pausing anything. I just chuck a spell.
Right.
I love that so much more.
Or just heal yourself, right?
Yes, or just heal myself. To me, I prefer that so much. And I actually forgot how much I liked that until I started playing this again. And I was like, oh my God, I forgot how much I preferred this.
What if in Elder Scrolls 6, especially if it's designed for controller, you've got your, you know, you have two buttons for your, you know, your bumper and the trigger. Right.
Yeah,
what if the triggers? What if the triggers were like right hand, left hand? So like maybe it's block and sword, but then the bumper is whatever spell you attach to each of your hands.
Yeah.
Then you have two spells and two weapons or shield, all right there. Like,
I don't know. I just I did not that was one of the things about Skyrim that I actually didn't super care for. I know a lot of people liked it, but it was just like, that one was not a change that I enjoyed.
Right, right.
Also, remember when we were concerned about if we could fill an hour for the show?
Yeah, I was like, hey, I've got some ideas of things that we can talk about. I want to get your take on
Oblivion, since we haven't been able to talk about.
Yeah, I've got a number of other things. Actually, before I'm sure we're going to be talking more about Oblivion as time goes by. But here's some fun things that I found online and just kind of that I thought were worth noting. Lots of people are, if you aren't on the Oblivion or the Oblivion remaster subreddits, there's all sorts of fun posts on those. This user Vicatrix posted a few days ago, "I just spent 19 years in jail. Yo, is the Oblivion crisis still going on?" Or question. And they posted a screenshot. Their infamy is 1,401. 6,990 days in jail because they stole 2,906 items, assaulted 45 people, murdered 7, stole 7 horses, and had a bounty of 698,040 gold.
Love that.
Which is great. But like, that's true though, right? Like, okay, so you spend 19 years in jail, you like all of your skills atrophy, but like the Oblivion crisis is still happening,
still
I guess.
Still going.
18 years later.
Dagon works very slowly.
Very slowly. And speaking of the Oblivion crisis, on my Ninja Kitty build, which by the way is named Ninja Kitty because my daughter was little when the game originally came out and she was like, "What are you playing?" And I'm like, "I'm playing this game. Here, look, it's a Ninja Kitty." And I made a character and she thought it was hilarious.
That actually makes me want to look up. I still have my save file on my Xbox 360. Mm. I feel like it's going to be something that I can't post online because I was college bro. I feel like it's probably not good.
Yeah, I was a young father, and so I was making characters.
Me to put this garbage up.
Yeah, you were in college. I was a young dad who was making characters that my, I don't know, 6-year-old at the time was.
No,
I think was cute.
Yeah, I was probably not that mature or anywhere close.
All right, so speaking of Oblivion Crisis, right? When I went back into my Ninja Kitty character and I'm looking around for the shrine that has this Daedric bow. Guess what I came across?
What is that?
An Oblivion portal, but I hadn't done Kvatch yet. And I was like, wait a minute. Like I'm just like walking around at night and in the distance I see this bright light and I'm like, that's a really big fire. And then I got closer and I'm like, that's an Oblivion portal. What? I haven't done Kvatch. So Oblivion portals in my game are just showing up places.
Interesting.
I haven't returned the amulet to Martin. I haven't done the Kvatch at all. I haven't even been on that side of the map yet. I don't know what's going on, but it seems like it's a glitch. I looked it up and it seems like it's something that can happen on occasion, but I don't know where if it's going to break my game. I don't know if it's just going to be fine once I go to Kvatch and everything will be fine. But I went in the portal. I closed it. I got the stone, you know, like made it all that work. So... weird. If anyone listening has had this issue, then please let me know. Here's another thing I thought was particularly funny from, this is just a week ago. Ordinary Dazzling 8896 on Reddit posted, my statue of the hero of Kvatch moved and is actually alive. And there's a video of this. I think what they did was they created a statue who is based on your character at the time, wearing your armor and all of those things. And so what it did was it just took the model with its animations and everything just standing there and copied it into a big statue version with like a stone texture. But it looks like it's like breathing and like the eyes blink.
That's funny.
Yeah, I was like, what is this? It's so weird and
creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. Super strange.
But to your point, I bet it is just your character with like a stone skin, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably that. They probably just copy the character, place another character in the world that just stands in one place and looks like a statue.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
That's
this one,
freaky.
Yeah, this one I thought particularly interesting. Remember Glarthier, the guy who thinks everyone's yes. spying on him and he has you go kill everybody? Glarthier, who I've noticed a number of people commenting who've never played Oblivion before, like, what's with this dude? What's going on with him? Well, it turns out that there's this plain session 6624 on Reddit who says, I've created Super Saiyan Glarthier. He has mowed down hordes of guards, killed all his enemies, and got away with it all. So basically created a set of spells that he could cast on another character and then super buffed Glarthier so that Glarthier could hunt down everybody and then beat up all the guards And then basically goes on. Basically, they created a shield 70% spell, fortify 100 blunt, fortify agility, fortify 100 endurance, and then a number of other things, including some potions and things. But basically created this concoction that they could give to Glarthyr, and then just kept following him around, keeping him buffed, and he destroys like everybody. And then once he kills all the guards, he just walks around like nothing happened. But of course, because it's Oblivion, new guards show up after like 3 days, but there's still bodies on the ground. But the new guards don't treat him like he did anything wrong. They're just citizen, they move on. I was like, oh my God, that's so great. Anyway, these are just some of the fun details that people have been posting that I thought were worth sharing. So there you go. Any other fun stories you want to add in before we get to the end part of the show?
No, I mean, I think with basically this being like a full thing, we might as well just stick to the Oblivion stuff. We can hold off on, you know, I can recap, you know, some of my stuff from PAX East at other time. We can talk about that. But, you know, I don't know. I've been having a lot of fun with Oblivion, and I'm glad to see a lot of other people have been enjoying it. And, you know, I kind of hope they take away the right things from this, because like I had said, I think this was a bit of a testbed, because, you know, not to sound overly cynical, but a little bit of plausible deniability. If this went over like a sack of rocks and everybody's like, this sucks, and this game's old and garbage and it's not fun and these systems are lame and whatever, people just didn't like it, it didn't go over well.
Yeah.
It could very much be a, well, we outsourced it. This wasn't us.
You know, it's not our fault.
You know, what are you going to do?
Right.
But as a result, this has done gangbusters. It's blown up people watching it. Like, it had crazy numbers on Twitch. It's got crazy numbers on Steam downloads. It's like,
it's a huge success.
If I'm not mistaken, I think it was the most downloaded game of the month already, which is ridiculous. There's that other, a JRPG, but it's
Clair Obscura. Yeah. Which has also been getting glowing reviews.
So many of my friends have like really fallen in love with that game. I haven't played it myself, but they've been saying how great it is. And they were worried. They're like, oh no, this game got shadow dropped at the same time. And this is basically like, had it not been leaked, this would essentially be the biggest shadow drop that's ever happened.
Yeah.
Outside maybe Fallout Shelter, which is Bethesda is really good with their shadow drops, but this clearly, you know, it was leaked a bunch of different times, even though like 10 of the leaks were not even right. Everybody was on high alert for it at that point, so it was like, it's only sort of shadow droppy. But I saw a thing from that where I guess because it's in the same category of like, you're looking for RPGs, it's getting paired alongside Oblivion, so their sales skyrocketed as a result.
Yeah, and because people were concerned that they was going to eat their lunch and everyone wouldn't pay attention.
And I saw a thing where they're like, oh no, this has actually done wonders for us too. So I'm like, oh great, this is just all around like, this just,
it's also nice on Game Pass.
A good story related to gaming.
Yeah, it's also on Game Pass. So people who got Game Pass to play Oblivion are noticing that's available to download. So they're downloading and trying it.
Good.
Yeah.
So yeah. We've had so many bad stories in the industry recently. I'm glad to see this one landed because, you know, this shows how much, you know, as much as people like or don't like the either mobile versions or the online entries into the Elder Scrolls series, the bread and butter of the series has always been its single player games.
Right. Yes.
Not that they're the only ones that are successful by any means, but it's just like, that's how it started. They've dabbled in multiplayer before. They've dabbled in mobile before. Like, there's other versions of this stuff, but the core numbered series entries, it's nice, even if it's just a remake of one that we've already had, but it's not Skyrim, which so many people are acquainted to.
Yeah.
It feels like this was such like what people wanted from this series, and it hasn't happened in a while, and I'm really glad to see that. And
absolutely.
I think it's setting a lot of people up that maybe wouldn't have looked to Skyblivion later. Now maybe they are. Like, maybe now it's like, oh, what's the Skyblivion thing when it launches? Because it's like, well, I liked the Oblivion remaster, I like Skyrim, maybe now I'm on board for this. So I hope that it's just, it seems like it's got positive effects all around, and hopefully, you know, this irons out a few of the things, like people did like this, people didn't like this. Let's see what's worth keeping for our next numbered entry in the series.
Right. Yeah. Well put. And we'll get to your take on the tabletop game on say the end of the next episode. We'll get into that.
Yeah. But, end of the next episode. We'll be covering it on Tales as well. So.
Right. Right. So
no worries.
Sounds good. But don't go anywhere, because not only do we have a bunch of new patrons to welcome over the last few weeks since we took the last week off, but also we've got a voicemail. This one's pretty fun. And the random page, the random UESP.
Nailed it.
Words are hard.
Words, so are letters.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
All right, so thank you to everybody who has found us recently. There's a big insurgence of people who are interested in Elder Scrolls lore because of Oblivion, and they're checking out the show. And a lot of you have signed up on the Patreon. So thank you so much. Patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. If you want to find out why all of these people are signing up, they're getting ad-free episodes. They're getting some of the episodes that we've put over here, like I mentioned, that we are redoing the topics on. So if you want to go hear those old versions, they're not as good as the new ones we're going to do, I could promise, but they're over there if you want them. And also there's t-shirts and stickers, and you can join us for patron chats and all of that stuff. So go check that out. But we have to shout out everybody. So here we go. Peyton C, Heaven Buffington, which is, I think I may have said these two in the last time. I wasn't 100% sure because they showed up the same day that we did the recording. I'm pretty sure that's not somebody's actual name, but if it is, congratulations. That's an awesome name.
congratulations on your name.
But usually I try to not read people's last names, but I'm pretty sure that one's not a real person. Alex, I mean, there's a real person there. The name is changed for fun. Anyway, Alex, Travis Y, Zachariah D, Captain Price, Adam C, Sideshow Commissaire, Bobby 69420.
That nice. Is his real name. I can't believe you said it.
crap. Michael W, Evan N, Knox, Dvalin's T, or Tavern, which is Dvalin's Tavern. Okay, I get it. Johnny S, Albert M, Sean Sakhinthra, Grant H, Duncan R, Fluffy Wolfitis, Wolfidius? Aiden, I do so well with these names.
Yeah, no, I you will get no help from me because I have to do these on Tales just because everybody likes to watch me screw them up. So.
Yeah, well, here you go. This is where I get to screw them up. Standpoint, Chrissy, and Sarah J, thank you so much for all of your support. We really do appreciate it. You guys keep the show going, and we love that you are able to support us, and we love giving you stuff in return. So thank you for doing that. Also, we have to shout out our Daedric Princes. They get shout outs every week. Blinding Vision, Hersine, Kira C, and Peter R. Thank you so much for your support as well. If you want to help us out in other ways, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and we'll read out your review over there. If we can see it in the US, because the platform that I had that allows me to see everything doesn't exist anymore. So I can only see the stuff in the US. But that doesn't mean you can't leave a review and help us out. So thank you for all your help. And if you listen on other platforms or you have friends who are into Oblivion for the first time and they have questions about the world, send them our way. We'll take good care of them. So here, Lotus, check this out. This is a voicemail that we have from Naughty Argonian Alchemist, and you can leave a voicemail for us. What is the, where'd the link go? Here's the link.
Ooh la la.
Ooh la la. It's, nope, that's not it. Well, for some reason it's not working correctly. Here we go. Let me try this. There we go. Voiceline.app/Elder Scrolls. If you want to leave us a voicemail and get your words on the show, please try to keep it to like less than a minute or two, in order to just kind of keep things moving. But here we go. Take a listen to this.
Shh. Come closer, Tom. This one shall tell you the tale, but keep your tongue still, yes? Walls have ears in this cursed city. It began on the bloated float. Yes, that creaky tavern that sails upon Lake Rumaire like a drunken gar. I was but seeking ingredients, you see. Slime mold, a whisper of Nern root, and the bartender's secret stash of Flynn. I needed them for a potion most rare. Not for drinking, no, no, but to reveal the hidden auras of arcane traps, useful when one borrows relics from sealed tombs. But fate, ah, fate is a cruel alchemist. As I reached for a bottle behind the bar, innocently, mind you, a hidden compartment clicked open, and out tumbled not Flynn, but a sack of counterfeit septims, gold as false as a skeever's loyalty. Of course, the guard bursts in just then, swears he saw me plant the coins. I hissed, I protested, I even offered him a calming draught. He declined, said it smelled like slaughter fish. Before I knew it, irons on my wrists, tail dragging in shame, they tossed me into the Imperial City prison. Cold stone, rats with manners better than the guards. But I made do. Mixed some dream weed and mold together in the dark. The sleep I had that night? Bliss. So, Tom, that is how this humble Argonian found himself behind bars. Because of a potion, a coin, and the worst timing in all of Tamriel. Let it be a lesson. Never trust a tavern that floats.
So they also wrote, this is the backstory of how my naughty Argonian alchemist got thrown into the Imperial City prison. This is the character I'll be making for TES4 Remaster. Hopefully I'll be making potions and acquiring new ingredients soon. Love the show. You and Lotus are doing the Divine's work. So this is cool. I don't know if
that.
That's
like worthy of being like a book in game.
Right. So and like it's so polished and the voice is like, I'm not sure if this is AI generated or if this is just somebody who writes very interesting things and does a really cool voice.
Right.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not,
I don't know.
Totally sure either. But actually, if they would let us know, I'm curious because that has a very good Argonian voice.
Right. Right. And this was actually sent to us on the 22nd, which was before our patron chat. So I didn't have time during the patron chat to play it. So I had to save it until now since we took last week off. But yeah, very interesting. I love the story and the role play.
I love that. It literally, I've shouted them out before, but it's like Skyrim Book Club. They just read basically the in-game literature and stuff like that in these short little bite-sized, basically like that. This totally sounds like something that would be on that show where it's just like, this would just be like a journal or a book you find in-game in the cell next to like an Argonian skeleton or something like that.
Yeah.
Or like a hole in a wall and he's escaped and this is like left behind. You know what I mean?
Very cool stuff. Let us know, Argonian or naughty Argonian alchemist, if this was something that you used like an AI voice to generate or if you actually doing that voice. And it almost sounds like you're coming through, maybe it's just the phone that makes it sound a little tinny, or if that's tinny. Like if you recorded it on something and added effects to make it sound like I don't know, like an old game,
you're in a cell
voiceover or you're in a cell or something. Yeah, cool stuff. So thank you for taking the time to leave that for us, and anyone else who wants to leave us a voicemail, we'll check out your voicemails at the end of future episodes. But that's going to do it for this episode. We've got one last thing, our random page. This one is real short. As usual, I just hit the button. This is what we get. So this is from Mod Morrowind Tamriel Rebuilt Items Notes Books. This is a message from Mr. Delagia, which it says, a message from Mr. Delagia, a message from a local gang leader in the Thieves Guild. Mr. Delagia sends his regards. That's it. That's all it says.
How thoughtful of him. What a great way to end the show. Thank you, Mr. Delagia.
Hey, thanks. And there's an entire page just devoted to this from one mod in Morrowind on the UESP. And this is part of why we
love
that website
so much. In every way.
Yeah, it's the best wiki on the internet. All right, thank you everybody. Lotus, any last thoughts, any last words before we head out?
No, ideally we'll be doing a pretty in-depth dive again for UESP's Tales of Tamriel podcast that I also co-host. Hopefully this weekend we'll have that out for next week. But other than that, just kind of trying to get back to normalcy because it was kind of weird to go to PAX East for a few days because I don't really have that much free time yet recently, obviously with being a new dad and stuff. So that was a lot to make that happen. And shout out to my wife for managing to free up that much time where I could make all of that work.
She's the real MVP. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mrs. Lotus. Yeah.
True dragonborn.
Wow, you're married to a dragonborn. that's cool. Right. Yeah, thanks everybody for being here. I've got, of course, the Fallout Lorecast and the Lord of the Rings Lorecast and a bunch of other shows on the Robots Radio Network that are hosted by other people, and go check it out, robotsradio.net. also, the 40k Lorecast joined us recently. You probably saw that episode come out, and where we welcome them onto the network, and so that's huge. They're great guys, and they've got a really cool show. If you're into 40k Warhammer stuff, go check that out. And thanks again for being here. Live chat, thanks for being here. And we will see you next time. And until then, go have some more fun in Oblivion doing all sorts of weird stuff, because the possibilities seem endless. All right, we'll see you next time.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this, and join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.